This is a Sunday that has a lot of significance for a lot of reasons. For me, at least, I always hear from Sergio, do you want the good news first or the bad news? Well, I'll kind of mix it together. Good news is the building fund drive ended, and we raised a total of $89,188.50. Which means that we now have somewhere around $874,000 in the building fund, according to my sources. Those who manage the fund have said it's around 868, and then we're adding eight more today, so that makes it 874. So that is good news, and I just thank you all for. We didn't meet the $50,000 goal, but we were close. And I just thank you all for being participants in that. I know it. Funds came from a lot of sacrifice and a lot of faith that God would work through that in some way. This is also a time of reflection for me. My father's birthday was July 4th. And today's July 2nd, and we never celebrated Independence Day. All those fireworks were for Dad. We always celebrated his and his twins' birthday. And I have been doing a lot of reflection on him and his ministry here at Lee Heights and being a pastor here as well. As we turn to our scripture lesson this morning, let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, and we ask for your forgiveness where we have failed, and we pray, Lord, that as we hear your voice today and as we continue to read your word and hear your voice through scripture, that you lead us to obedience. We pray this for our own blessing and benefit, but we also pray it for your glory, that others will know we're your children because we're following you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The other thing that I didn't mention is that this may be the last. I'm just going to lay it out there. Maybe the last double service. Maybe the last 8:30 service. The plan is to take a break from the 8:30 service and pray about things, the direction of the church, and do that throughout the summer. So it could be that we'll come back and say we need the 8:30 service after that. That meeting, but this may be the last one, and I need to put that out there, that that's a turning point in our congregation if that indeed happens. Herding cats. That's our message for this morning, herding cats. And I must begin by saying that this is a confessional from me to you and to God, as well as a sermon. The first time I heard this expression happened a number of years ago at a Mennonite ministers meeting, where there were probably 40 ministers and their spouses gathered together. I think it might have been in New York City, but it wasn't. It was someplace everybody traveled to. And there was a woman in charge of bringing us together so that we could do the meeting. And all of these, quote unquote, including myself, important people, had stuff they had to do. They were out in the lobby making phone calls back to their church. They were having important conversations with each other in different areas. And she was really struggling to pull us together every time. Morning session, the prayer session, the afternoon session. And my wife noticed that she was really frazzled. And she said to her, "You're doing a good job. This is hard." And she said, "It's like herding cats." And as I thought about that, it's like, wow. I can't imagine herding cats. I know a little bit about cats. I had cats as a kid. And it was hard to get them to come to you unless you had food or something that you wanted to attract them to, much less hurting them. It leaves me with this impression that's on the screen. As I thought about it more, it occurred to me that this is a problem within the Mennonite church. It's a problem. It's not just when the pastors get together. It's kind of endemic. What was happening at the meeting was that people, ministers, were not recognizing that God gave her this responsibility and this authority, and they were disrespecting it because their authority was so important. Their way of doing things was so important. And where this comes from, I believe, is our strong adherence to the priesthood of all believers. Now, every church has some reference to the priesthood of all believers. Every Protestant, Catholic church, even with authoritarian structure, they agree that there is a priesthood of all believers. That God doesn't just speak through the pastor, God speaks through every member of the church, every Christian. We all believe that. But I think Mennonites take it too far. Where God speaks through everyone, so the pastor isn't being spoken to in any special way. Doesn't have any authority. Isn't hearing the voice of God as clearly as I am. My father often told me that his worst critics were people that he believed God called to the ministry, but they were disobedient to that call. And so that seemed to me, well, it seems true too, because I've had that experience myself. I know somebody's been called to the ministry because I've worked with them in the past, and they become my biggest critic. They don't want the responsibility of being a pastor, they just want to rule. And so they criticize. You're not doing this right, you're not doing that right. I would have done it differently. Well, then do it. Be obedient. Go through the process, the education you have to go through, the sacrifices you have to make. Go through all of that and then come back. Pray for your congregation on a daily basis. Read scripture all the time. Take that and then
accept the call that God has called you to, and then you can have the pastorate, and you can deal with people who will do the same thing to you.
Be the man.
Be the man God called you to be, or the woman. Now, the priesthood of all believers comes from this passage in 1 Peter 2 and 5. It is in Scripture. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. You're being built into a spiritual house. And if you're listening to the Holy Spirit and you're doing things the Jesus way, it's all about Jesus. And the good thing about really focusing on that, like the Mennonite Church does, is that everyone's listened to. And I just love that about our church and the Mennonite Church. Everyone's listened to. Everyone can speak and, you know, get their input in. It's wonderful. Everybody is heard. But what is bad is that not everyone's listening to Jesus. Some people are just offering their own opinions. They have common sense or life experience that they think is more valuable than the voice of Jesus. The most micro example of this happened at a church that I followed through many years, 15, 20 years. In meetings, I met with the pastor. I told him about our hunger center the first time we met. I don't know why. God just led me to talk about it. And he said to me, "Our church believes that God is calling us to do a hunger center in our own building. But we aren't doing it." And so I started asking questions. If God is calling you to do this, why aren't you doing it? Well, they believed in the consensus model. Everybody had to agree. And so when they took a vote, it was 18-3. Now, this church had not always been 21 people. Years before that, it had been 100 people or more, 150 people at one time. But it had dwindled down to 21 people, and the pastor felt this calling to reach out to the community by providing the hunger center in the church. And three people adamantly opposed it. And I said, "Well, why are they in opposition to it?" Well, they believe that the church should grow and that we can use that space for the new people that are coming into the church. We don't want to give up that space because once you give it up, you can't get it back. Well, that's not true. We housed a hunger center here for a couple years and then it went someplace else. You do what God calls you to do. You don't know how it's going to turn out. It's not always about common sense. A few years later, they had a new pastor. What happens when the pastor and the congregation don't agree on vision is the pastor has to start thinking, is this really where God is calling me to? And she... Of course, I had to ask her, what's going on with the hunger center? Well, the vote's now 15-3.
three people left the church.
A number of years later,
there was a new pastor. And I asked her, well, how's the hunger center going? It was 12 to 1. 12 to 1. One person was objecting to what God called the entire congregation to do. But this pastor wouldn't take no for an answer. And she harassed this woman. She met with her constantly, and I don't know what happened, but now they have the hunger center. And guess what? The church is starting to grow. They're finally obedient to what God has called them to do, and now the church is growing. One of the problems that they had was that they completely disrespected the pastor's voice in all of this. Pastor's vision is a church vision. There's no respect for that. Three pastors in a row. And pastor's vision is also in Scripture. There's a balancing that has to go on.
Amen. Leadership.
Between, yeah, it's not just the pastor, it's the elders.
And we see that in Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And I think that so Christ himself is really important. Pastors feel this acutely. I preach because I can't do anything else, because Jesus has called me to do this. But we don't take that calling all by ourselves. We take it to the congregation. And the congregation confirms the call, but the call comes from Jesus. If it doesn't, we have no business being here. It comes from Jesus. And the congregation confirms the call. And so if the pastor is called by Jesus, and the congregation has confirmed that call, and the pastor is doing the work of the Lord on a daily basis, building up the church, building up the body of Christ, then it's important to hear what they have to say. What their vision is. And as I said, it's not necessarily that the pastor's right, but the pastor and the congregation, if they can't come together, there probably needs to be a parting of the ways. But the pastor should at least be heard and taken seriously. On those occasions where I felt, and this is why I often say feelings, you can't trust them, you trust God, not feelings. But I felt like it was time for me to leave, different reasons. Usually it was somebody disagreeing with me. My dad would often say to me, Jesus called you to this church. Make sure that it's Jesus is calling you away. Don't just leave because somebody's upset with you. The pastor should take their calling very seriously. It comes from Jesus. It's confirmed by the church and should lead the congregation in following Jesus
We're all following Jesus.
Amen.
He's the good shepherd, not the pastor. We're all following Jesus. The pastor's just out there helping us, right? To follow Jesus.
And whenever a congregation is called to do something,
they're always like there were in our Old Testament scripture, people who will say, but there are giants in the land. We can't do that. We seem like ants to them. Always.
The reality is that God doesn't ask us to do what is possible to do on our own efforts, because you don't see God in that. If you can do it all by yourself, you don't need God.
Amen.
Reverend Stewart used to tell us in the meetings all the time, plan something so impossible that when it is accomplished, you will see God at work in it.
Amen.
That's a reality of the ministry. God calls us to do the impossible, so we'll see the miraculous power of God. But it doesn't make sense. Common sense. And if I were the pastor that I could have been,
that my father trained me to be, I would have taken that more seriously. We would be in a new building today.
Years ago, God called us to build a new building. Years ago. Now, I've lived through this building as a child. Growing up, a teenager, that building. I've seen a pastor who is fully committed at work to following Jesus Christ, who would not let those who would cry out there are giants in the land get in the way. I've seen that. I experienced that. That's what he trained me and taught me to be and to do. There were two occasions, that extension and that extension, where the church sold bonds. Today they call that a Ponzi scheme. They had no way of paying it back. A small church, the first time it probably had 35, 40 members. They couldn't pay it back. But the members put their life savings into those bonds. And they got their friends and their family members to do the same. And because of their obedience, the church prospered. And grew. And they were paying back the rate of interest that was ongoing at the time, no more, no less. But they paid it back early, which meant everybody got a bigger return on those bonds. Both times they paid it back early. They received the blessings financial, but so many people received additional blessings beyond that, that they said, keep the money. create a new building fund. We don't want it. And guess what? That's what our building fund started out as, those donations. I witnessed that. I saw that. I grew up with that. We should be in a new building that fits our ministries, that doesn't cost $20,000 a year to maintain, that allows Sunday school classes to not have children with such age variances that the bigger kids are calling the little kids babies. Our youth meeting out in some lobby area where everybody can overhear what's being said. You should have that. You deserve that. But you had a faulty pastor, one who was disobedient. It's my sin. And it's great that this is coming on Communion Sunday. Jesus died for my sin, as well as yours. And so I can stand here and talk with you about it, knowing that I'm forgiven. When I turn to Him, I'm given another opportunity. So are you. We all are. And communion is such a wonderful reminder of that. We had the vision. And somebody suggested double services. It wasn't me. Someone asked me, are you upset that we're not going, that we're stopping the double services for the summer? And I said, no. It wasn't my idea. Somehow people have gotten over the years to think that I was the one that wanted it. I don't know how that happened, because I opposed it, actively opposed it, when somebody suggested it, because I felt like it was being disobedient to God. And I would joke that it also meant more work for me. Because being obedient to God would be building a new building. And this was just because the church was busting at the seams, people were crowding in, people, parking lots were so full at the time that members who came late would tell me, well, I came to church, but the parking lots and the streets around here were so full that I decided to go to another church because I got here late. That's what was going on. We had this tremendous growth coming into our church. And the blessings were flowing. We were being obedient to God. Members were going out and inviting people. They were so excited about bringing people to Christ, about saving the unsaved. And so I saw this double service as just a delay tactic. Well, we don't want to do this. Take the risk. Step out on faith of building a new building. So let's do double services. That'll buy us some time. And I had to be convinced that double services was really a way to accommodate everybody until we got our new building. I had to be convinced. And my sin is I let people convince me, because I knew better. And the closing of the double service is a reminder to me of my sin. That I should have said, oh no, the vision is a new church building. Now Jesus works with us, doesn't he? Even when we're disobedient. And so there were numerous objections. One was, we didn't have the land. We got the land. The second was interest rates were so high. interest rates went almost down to nothing. A third one was, it costs so much to build. And then the housing market collapsed, and builders were looking for things to do as cheaply as possible, and yet we still didn't build. See how Jesus was working with us, giving us opportunity? And I bear that as my sin. Not in faith stepping out and saying, oh no, we're called to build. That's what we should be doing. But there are giants in the land. Still, we didn't do it. Not that Jesus suffers. Jesus is going to have the increase. If it's not through us, it's going to be through somebody down the street whose theology we say is all wrong. But at least they're obedient. The increase is going to come. We miss out on a lot of the blessings. They were, because we're not as concerned about the unsaved as we were back then. And that was my calling. I saw that very clearly, to reach the lost. I was so upset when it was said in a church meeting that we should look internally first, fix our problems internally, because there is nothing in Scripture that says that the church should do that. We should always be reaching out to the unsaved. Jesus will work with what's going on in the church. It's his body of Christ. But we should be concerned about the unsaved. With disobedience, my disobedience, and my unwillingness to step out on faith, came this strong feeling like I was herding cats. It's been like that for years. And it seemed like every time I suggested something, there were a group of people that automatically said no. Didn't matter what it was. I say yes, they say no. I say put a Sunday school class down in the room where people were having snacks, because to me, teaching God's word is far more important than. And I know others disagree. But somehow, for some people, no matter what it was that I said, they disagreed. It was like herding cats. And I didn't feel much like a pastor. But as I said, feelings are not that important. It's really what you're called to do and what God has called us to do together. Jesus never described us as cats, not once. He described us as sheep. Many times. It shouldn't be hard for us to get together and follow Jesus. Together. Because we're not cats. In Mark 6 and 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things.
And in our New Testament scripture in 10:3, we read, "The watchman," John 10:3, "the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And Jesus describes himself as being the gate, because you can't get in, even in the pen, unless you know Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. So he's the gate, but he's also the good shepherd. And we're to get together as his followers and listen to his voice. Not our own common sense, not the things we think should be done, but to the voice of Jesus. This is true for a church, it's true as individuals, as Christians. We should always be looking for the voice of Jesus in our lives. What is Jesus asking of us? What is Jesus asking us to do? How is Jesus teaching us to react? We should all be following Jesus together. That's what he says in 10:4, when he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. The voice of Jesus. Now, I'm not suggesting we build now. Not at all. That time may have passed. I don't know. Truth is, I have no vision. And that's one of the reasons it's clear to me that it's time for me to retire. I have no vision. So I'm not up here to tell you we should now all of a sudden desperately go build. Not at all. But the good news, said I should finish with the good news. Is that Jesus doesn't give up on me. And Jesus doesn't give up on us. Not us as individuals, not us as a church. And Jesus has given us another pastor. Amen. Pastor Vicki. And she has a vision. And so I'm up here today to encourage you to respect that vision and to hear that vision.
Amen.
I have to tell you, in the last number of years, what Jesus has been saying to me is, make sure that this congregation has a shepherd and is well on its way to doing what I am calling them to do. And that shepherd is Vicki, Pastor Vicki.
Amen.
And my ministry is tied up in her ministry. I don't know if you noticed that, but I was part of her calling. I helped her to see that, part of her training, part of her education. I worked with her as my assistant, and then as a full partner, as co-pastor. She is our next opportunity. And I've often said, you know, I'm retiring. December 31st, I'm retiring.
Midnight.
Someone said, oh, I didn't know you were retiring. This is news to me. I've been saying this for 3 years. You have been given the longest notice of any church on record. December 31st, I'm retiring. You know, maybe about it. Jesus has made it clear it's time to step aside.
And in that retirement, the Mennonite church says, you need to take a break from Lee Heights.
Yep.
They say 3 years. I cannot imagine being separated from you for 3 years. So I say 1 year. 1 year, that's all. 1 year. And I'm coming back as a member, and then if God is, I'm open to God's call and vision beyond that. But 1 year. And I would encourage you to take that year also to settle out, settle down, take your time. Don't make any rash decisions. See clearly what Jesus is calling you to do. Give respect to Vicki. Because, this is not a threat, but it's true. It would be very hard for me to return if something happened with Pastor Vicki. Even if she quit because there was some reason that people were giving her a hard time, it'd be hard for me because she's part of my ministry. This is what God has asked me to do, is train her up. The good news. And so I am this morning, as I confess my own sin and receive forgiveness, as this communion represents, and another opportunity for obedience, I'm asking you to do the same. It would be easy for us to be like cats, to believe that we are just as priestly as Vicki is, to dishonor and disrespect. It seems to be part of our DNA. I hope and I pray that this is not the direction that we take, and that we start with obedience to Jesus. Prayer every Sunday is a good start. The elders have come up with a plan for prayer before worship at 9:30.
9:15.
Don't come late. I won't be there because I've told you I got no vision now. Vision is Vicki's. I don't want to interfere with that process, which is why the year break. Because I'm just as guilty as anybody else of being a cat. Prayer every Sunday is a good start. Participating in the vision is a good start. I hate it when people say they should do this, or we should do that. Be a part of it. Hearing the voice of Jesus through Pastor Vicki is a good start. Coming together honestly and respectfully is a good start. Oh yes. There will always be those who will cry out, there are giants in the land. We can't do that. We can't do this. We don't have the people. We don't have the resources. Truth is, when we don't obey, it's because we don't have the faith. Obedience is what Jesus calls us to. Following Jesus is what he calls us to do. And we can prayerfully, we will, come together as a church body, allowing Pastor Vicki to lead us in following Jesus together.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your many blessings and gifts. And on this Communion Sunday, we are so grateful for the forgiveness you provide, not because we merit it, have earned it in some way, but because Jesus loves us and died on the cross in our place and accepted the punishment for our sins. Oh, we're so grateful and we love you so much and we want to be obedient. And so, Lord,
I ask and I pray for this, our congregation, that as we move forward, that you lead us in obedience as you're the good shepherd, as you always do, and that we hear your voice clearly and obey. I ask this and I pray this, Lord, for our own blessing and benefit, for there are so many blessings that come with obedience. And I pray it for your glory, for when others see that there is a church that does what you tell them to do, responds with faith and does the impossible because you're with them, they will see your glory and be drawn to you. I pray for the unsaved, Lord. I ask that you bring them to you, and I pray, Lord, that as we are able, as you provide us with inspiration, that you lead us in helping them. I ask it also for their blessing and benefit, for each person that comes to you receives blessing of forgiveness and so much more beyond that. And I pray it for your glory, for each transformed life shines your glory in the world, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.